I can almost cry when I think about all the messages our world receives, and especially for women, about being inadequate or not skinny enough or beautiful enough or perfect enough. And God needs men and moms to rise up and call out the good.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your favorite place together.
Hello, More Than Small Talk friends. We are back with you again this week for another episode in our Her series. We have done Restore Her, Really See Her. This week, we are doing Raise Her Up. And we have a special guest, Jason Rovenstein, who is a dear friend of mine, my new business partner, which you'll hear more about later, but also the dad of three amazing daughters. Jason has a lot of publishing industry experience, as well as other things. And we're excited about having him here today. He lives in Franklin, Tennessee. I got to be out there recently. It's a great little town. And as we talk about raising her up, if you are not a mama, this is still for you. If you're not a dad, this is still for you, because we all have girls in our lives that we want to see become strong, confident women. And you may be a woman who has a little girl inside still, and you didn't get the kind of raising up that God still wants you to have. So if that's your situation, today is for you too. So Suze, kick us off.
Okay, Jason, listen, we always start with a confession question. What we're going to do this time, though, is a little bit different. We're going to start with a confession question for us, and then we're going to pitch one your way. Okay?
All right.
Does that work?
Sounds great.
So ladies, this is the deal. When's a time that you felt strong and confident as a little girl?
Okay, well, I was thinking about one moment. It was not a really good defining moment for me, but I have this something inside of me that feels like I'm really big. And so there was a bully on the playground, and he towered over me, but somehow, like, I feel big on the inside. So I was like, I can take this guy. And I was completely convinced that, you know, I was going to confront him. So I'm like walking up to him, and I'm still like looking up, but I tried to take him on, and it did not go well. But I was so convinced that I was going to at least leave a mark or something, but it didn't go that way. But I can remember thinking, what are you thinking? As I was like, he was kind of like my little Goliath moment, you know?
Yeah.
But it really was a powerful thing in me, because I noticed I advocate for people even at a young age. And so that was what I was trying to do. So I felt big and brave until he like totally whoops me. But, but you know, I was convinced that I could like, you know, take care of this.
Yeah.
Didn't stop you.
No.
So a time in my life was, we used to go to this place with a pool when I was a kid, and I had a high dive, and I vaguely remember this, but my dad also still tells me this story. Almost every time I see him, he'll say, Holly, you climbed right up that high dive and jumped straight off the end. And then the neighbor boy went up behind you, took one look, and backed off. And apparently that same trip, I was in a little boat on a lake, and a bass jumped into a boat next to ours that had two boys in it. They started screaming. I rowed over, jumped into their boat, grabbed the fish, jumped back into my boat, and took it back to my dad. So I definitely had a little fearless tomboy in me that I hope I still do. I still love chasing new adventures and taking calculated risk and leaping off a high dive every now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I wrestled with this question a little bit because I grew up in kind of a mess. But I remember being, and I wasn't a little girl, but I was 15 years old, 15 or 16. And we went to this little church as a youth group. And I didn't know anything about faith really at this point. Like, I felt like I was leap years behind everybody else. But there was this moment at the end of the service where they asked if we wanted to just talk to God about right where we were, what we were going through, that this was an invitation for you to do that. And that felt so strange to me. But I went down and I sat down, and was just weeping and crying before the Lord. And I felt somebody tap my shoulder and they said, "Hun, are you ready to go?" And I said, "I just sat down." And they said, "No, you've been here for an hour." Wow. And it was my first time to just lay it out before the Lord and to talk to him and to, and I think in that moment, like, and I'm not trying to over spiritualize this, but it was something I'd never had. And to be able to feel in that moment that God just let me for an hour just hang out with him and tell him all the things, like there was something new, strong, and confident that was birthed in me in that moment.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's beautiful because when we were preparing for this episode, you said, you know what, this is a hard question for me.
It's a very hard question.
And you didn't necessarily have parents who empowered you to feel strong and confident. Mm-hmm. And so probably that moment was the first time you had a parental figure in the form of God, your father.
Yeah.
Give you
and
that
I
feeling.
Never, I very rarely weep on the, like, even now, like when we asked that question, I thought, I can't answer that.
Yeah.
Here's a clean.
We cry a lot.
Yeah. I can't answer that in a way because, and maybe that's why it's so delightful for me to see someone else step into that same confidence that comes from God. Yeah. Because if you don't have a father like Jason or like my husband, Richard, or who knows how to do that or a mother or whoever, that moment that you first encounter God and you realize that he's that father is pretty stinking special.
Yeah. And we said we wanted to make sure to mention that because we realize a lot of our listeners are living that story.
Yeah, that this confession question is hard. Yeah. So, Jason, here's your confession question. What is the time you saw one of your daughters be strong and confident?
A great question. I remember one particular instance, and I have to do the disclaimer, like, don't be the parent I was. but I sent my daughter to the grocery store. It was a block and a half away. We lived in a small town in Ohio, Dover, Ohio. And we sent Sophie down to M&M Market. And it's, again, I can see the market from my front driveway. Sophie was 4 at the time. And we even put her 2-year-old sister in the wagon and gave her instructions, go down to M&M Market, get an onion. We had a specific job for her to do. We called the owners of M&M Market. Hey, she's coming down. Here's what she's going to be ordering. And then, of course, I'm hiding in the bushes, watching at each step. So we didn't send her on her own. But I saw her come home with such pride. And even her younger sister at 2 probably didn't take much in, but just the knowledge that mom and dad wasn't around and that they were able to step out and do something, even though we were. And, I think a lot of that is giving our daughter's permission to fail. The kind of the helicopter parenting backlash of that is kids never feel like they want to step out and try something because they're afraid of failure. So that's one example I can remember early that Sophie really felt like, I can do this. My parents believe in me. They trust me. And I think it called her up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Sophie has grown up to be a strong, confident woman. She models, has gone out to New York City, done all kinds of things. So it's fun to think about that one little trip to the store was part of a much bigger journey that was starting. Yeah.
But the lovely part of that story is Jason hiding in the bushes, making sure that she was okay. I mean, that's the beauty in that story.
Yeah. And isn't that what God does for us? Right? Yeah. Like, he gives us free will and allows us to make choices and go on our journey of our life. But he's hiding in the bushes too. Yeah. We're never really on our own.
Yeah. Well, when we think about raising up a confident daughter, we live in a culture that batters that. And we've talked about that even in our last episode with Heather Creekmore, but that our daughters are really embattled. And when I think about a time that I've seen my daughter be strong and confident, I can name a lot of things because I have 2 very strong and confident daughters. But Jason, when you think about some of the battles that our daughters are facing, can you talk a little bit about that? How you see that as a dad?
Yeah. Well, obviously, you know, I guess our job as parents is just to articulate what's already in scripture that says what God says about our daughters. Mm-hmm. You're loved, you're forgiven, you're treasured. There's, you know, so much in scripture. And I think our job as parents is really to put words to that. It's one thing to read it, but it's another thing to just be reminded of that. And, you know, we're adults. We live in a modern age with information. We should know all this stuff. You know, our kids should know this already, but they don't. And right. Humans have short memories and they just need to be constantly reminded what God says about you. And so there's, you know, a couple things I think about. We did a nightly blessing with our kids. So we did the Aaronic blessings, number 624. And it's a short little blessing every night. And then at the end, we tack on whatever it is that God put in our heart for that night. So, you know, at the end of the blessing, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And then we'd always tack something on. So it may be, may the Lord prepare your future husband, raise him, you know, in health and God's ways, or may the Lord give you a grace on your test tomorrow. Or just, you know, show you how much you're treasured and loved. And so we kind of did that as a nightly ritual. I know lots of families do that. We did that even late into, you know, 11, 12 years old, or kids are too old to be tucked into bed, but we still did that. And we would always put our hand on their forehead. It's just kind of a special thing. And so I think our girls felt a real keen sense that I'm loved, not just by my parents, but they keep reminding me that there's a God that loves me, that created me with a purpose and a plan, and there's something bigger, and I'm set apart for something, not just for my own self aggrandizement. Is that the word? Just my cool life, but God has chosen me. And having, you know, parents or even mentors or grandparents remind that in us, we need it. All of us need it.
Yeah. And Jay, you're one of the most encouraging people I've ever met. I say that to you all the time. But you've shared with me some specific phrases you use with your kids, like you are loved. Can you give us like two or three of those that we can use with our kids, but also with any girls in our lives, and maybe even with ourselves sometimes?
Yeah. You know, this goes back to the identity piece. There's a book called Rare Leadership by Marcus Warner and Jim Wilder. Holly, I think you read that book with me. And it talks about the mirror neurons in our brains. And mirror neurons are the things that the baby chimpanzee sees mom take a rock and crack a walnut. So the baby chimpanzee does the same thing. It's the learning. And the mirror neurons are what inform our identity. And so some of those phrases, Holly, that you've asked about, I keep using these phrases to really remind our daughters of their identity. So here's one phrase. It's real simple. It's there you are. When your little toddler comes in the room in her pajamas, there you are. There's excitement. Same thing, you know, kids coming home. We hear the door close. Somebody walked in. We try to get up. We try to say, hey, you're home. There you are. And that just affirms some identity, that there's a really something special about you. You're not an intrusion. You're not an inconvenience. Another phrase that just absolute love, it's I believe in you. And that phrase, I believe in you, or some form of it, does two things. One, it brings hope to the child because, okay, if mom or dad or grandparent or teacher believes in me, there's something hopeful that says I can probably overcome this. But it also gives responsibility to the child. So a child comes home from school. I've got a situation with the teacher. She's being unfair to me. Hey, you know what? I believe in you. And that says there's going to be a good outcome. And with God's help and the help of the people you put in your life, you're going to figure this out. It's not my job as mom or dad to go call the teacher. It's your responsibility to figure out, and God will show up and be part of that. I think the last one is just thank you. The third phrase is thank you. And there's really something powerful about thanking people for things they should already be doing. I think we get it wrong so many of the times. We thank people for going out of their way, or thank them for bringing flowers, or thank them for something special. But, you know, if it's my job on Sunday nights to get the trash out for Monday, when someone in my family thanks me for something I'm already supposed to be doing, a role that I've already said I'll take that role on, it's powerful. And so, you know, as we think about that with our daughters, what can we catch them doing well and just pounce on it in a good way and say, I see that. Wow. Thank you. Acknowledging that. Boy, far more effective in my life than somebody nagging me about what I didn't do and what I ought to be doing. So those are just three things. The there you are, I believe in you, and just the simple, you know, thank you.
Yeah, those are fantastic.
Yeah. I was just thinking, because I have two daughters and they are amazing and both complete opposites. But what do you do when you see that insecurity or that fearfulness inside of them? How do you approach that as a father?
It's great, Jennifer. You know, years ago, I feel like God gave us insight as parents. And, you know, if you think we've got great kids, you're absolutely right. If you think it's had anything to do with us or our abilities, it's not. It's God's grace. We're so blessed. But I felt God gave us some insight early on, and that was affirming our, we had a daughter, and she wouldn't mind me telling you, our middle daughter, Ellie, who really struggled in school and didn't have the confidence that her older sister, Sophie, did. And so we started affirming not intrinsic value. So intrinsic value would be, oh, you're such a cherub. Oh, I love you. You're so sweet. You're so special. Those are intrinsic things. We started affirming the things like, hey, Ellie, I noticed you wrote out all of your vocabulary words. Wow, great job. We started affirming the action and the intentionality, or not just saying you're so special, you're so amazing, you're so loved, which you are. And we ought to say those things, but we really intentionally tried to call out the effort that she made in her school. And, you know, she's done very well. That we saw a really marked difference in a year one to year two, when we took a real approach of affirming behavior and effort, that built more confidence in her. There was a mm-hmm. sense for Ellie that it's like, oh, okay, it's, yeah, we all feel some sense of insecurity or in, you know, being incompetent, but to link behavior to outcome, I think was helpful for Ellie.
Yeah. I think that's so good.
That's really powerful. You know, Jason, I alluded to the fact that I didn't grow up in a believing home, and it was mm-hmm. very messy growing up, and God has done tremendous miracles, but it makes me very attuned to people who are also in that same place, especially if they're younger. But I was sitting beside a young woman a couple of months ago in church, and I watched a father in front of us who was just being super sweet with his little girls. You know, he was playing peekaboo, and he was being fun with them. And when worship came, he was worshiping with them, and the little hands were raised. And I was watching her beside me, and her seeing that was only a reminder of what she didn't receive. And so what I believe is that many times we may be the family someone else is praying for, you know, though she was a young woman and I couldn't go back and do anything to remedy that, I could love her well in that moment. I could love her well throughout her life. I can be there. And so is that something in your own life that you've been able to love not only your daughters, but maybe to reach out a little wider net to be a safe place for others so that they can see what a father's love looks like too?
Yeah. That's so good. Yeah, absolutely. That's a really great point. Boy, as you mentioned that, Susie, I can just, you know, two or three names come to mind that I think God has sent to our family through our girls. Mm-hmm. There's a girl recently, I won't mention any names, but who actually attempted to take her life. And one of my daughters heard about that. We were praying for her, and she stepped in to be a mentor to her. And in fact, she said that to me the night, I'm mentoring. And I'm like, you're mentoring what? You know, you're 20 year old, you're mentoring, but she's taken in this young teenage girl to mentor her. And so I think just through proximity of, you know, our own daughters and our own family, God gives us so many opportunities. I can almost cry when I think about all the messages our world receives, and especially for women about being inadequate or not skinny enough or beautiful enough or perfect enough. And God needs men and moms to rise up and call out the good. It just seems counterintuitive, like, oh, of course we know this stuff. No, we do. We just need others to remind us of mm-hmm. that. And so as my daughters bring friends over, being a safe male for them and affirming what we do see.
Yeah.
You know, we had a friend over the other day, and I just said, you know what? Our house is so much more vibrant and joyful when you come over. You know, she brings a light to her, and it really meant a lot to her. She mentioned it to my daughter, Sophie. So,
I'm so glad you brought that up, Suze, because of course our daughter Lavelle came into our lives when she was 20.
Yeah.
And people would say, well, she's already been raised. And I said, no, no one has ever mothered her heart. Mm-mm. And I think there's so many people in our world today, even adults, even people in their, you
100%.
Know, who no one's ever mothered or fathered their heart. And that person may be older than you, or they may be younger than you, or the same age. But I think all of us, as we listen to this conversation, we can say, I'm called to mother and father the hearts of others. And God, yes, show me who I can do that for in, yes, this season of my life.
Yeah.
So if my story has taught me anything, it's that mothering and fathering is not limited to, mm-hmm, biological kids.
No.
It's not even limited to adopting kids.
No.
It's something that God does for us that we can then do for others.
Yeah. I remember talking to the people who opened their home when I was a teenager, and they had no clue what was going on in our life in those four walls. And whenever I met them later in years and I just started to try to tell them what they had done, first of all, they showed me normalcy. Okay, this is what normal can be. They showed me what I could have. They showed me what love looked like. They showed me what good boundaries, I mean, everything. And I was trying to explain that. She was, oh, honey, all we did was open her home and make brownies and popcorn. And I thought, that's not what you did.
Yeah.
I mean, it may look like that to you,
yeah,
but you were shaping my heart and my life. And it later impacted not only me, but my children.
Yeah.
So it was pretty powerful.
It's something that I'm thinking about because, Susie, I had incredible support systems in my life, but I wasn't always spoken to in a way that caused me to flourish. If anything, it caused me to make myself smaller, didn't believe in myself. So how powerful do you think it is when we speak those blessings and speak those truth over not just our daughters, but everybody else in our lives? Because we have no idea what people have said to other people, and they believe that as truth. So I think that speaking blessings over others is so important to me personally, and something that I do for my girls since I didn't have that.
Yeah. And I think that's a great practical application to, yeah, start doing that. And so, Jay, I know you are a man of action and practical application too. So as people are listening and they're saying, how can I start applying this today? What's one thing that, or several, if you'd like to share, that you think can help with this?
It's awesome. Well, you know, I've got this 31-second rule. 30 seconds is not enough. 31 is just enough. But why 30 seconds? 30 seconds is long enough to be intentional about something. So, Holly, if I said, hey, take 5 minutes a day to go affirm Lavelle and, you know, call her to the strong daughter of God that, you know, she is, 5 minutes a day is a lot. So all I'm asking for is 31 seconds. So 31 seconds a day, put it in your habit tracker journal, however you need to, but find something that one of your daughters is doing every day that is good. So, you know, pounce on that. Catch her doing something that is in line with her identity, who God called her to be, her future. And then just, and it's got to be 31 seconds, because it's, if it's just a throwaway comment like great job, it doesn't count. But 31 is just enough to be intentional for her to communicate that intentionally. So, just let's all of us catch our daughters doing the good things we know God created them to do. And it just calls them out to be that.
Yeah. And I know you do this for more than just your daughters. You've told me you practice this with other people too. So if someone's listening, doesn't have daughters in the season of their lives, I'd say spend 31 seconds on somebody every day and,
amen,
pray. That's and powerful. Ask God, okay, who's my 31 second person today to encourage? I think that's a great way we can apply this.
Yeah. And I love what you said, to be detailed, to really see that one thing and to call it out. You know, to say maybe to my grown daughter or to this young woman that I was talking about, just to be able to look at them and say, I saw you doing this and I know how great that was because it impacted this. Wow, great job. You know, that's really encouraging.
That is, absolutely. So as we wrap up, Jason, any final words that you would like to share with our listeners?
I'm just so thankful for you guys. And I agree what Susie said earlier. There's so many of us who didn't have the upbringing, but in God's economy, I say if he has one of those little grave plaques on his desk, he's looking for a job title, I think he'd probably choose Redeemer. Like he redeems the worst messes. Look throughout history.
Absolutely.
In my life, he's the great fixer. He redeems things. And so if you didn't get that upbringing, God still can redeem that and is and will. So I know that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's powerful.
Well, I'd like you guys to talk about this new business that you have going.
Yes.
Can you share a little bit about that? It's pretty exciting stuff.
Sure. So Jason and I have been friends, I think we figured out about 25 years. We both started our careers at Dayspring. And I've always talked about doing something together, and the time is now. God has made that clear, and we're really excited about it. We've collaborated on a lot of other projects in the past, but now we are officially business partners and co-founders of a new adventure called the Potentialist Agency. You can find that at potentialistagency.com. So, Jason, will you share a few words about what we're up to? Obviously, we're passionate about potential and words and changing lives.
Yes, we believe words and ideas still change the world. And we're really helping other businesses that work with content, such as book publishers or creativepreneurs or content creators, really maximize the content that they've already created. So with the analogy we use, if you went and dug a gold mine and found a nugget of gold and walked out celebrating and started digging a new mine, that would be inefficient. We think if you found some gold in that mine, take advantage and dig further and maximize that. So that's what we help other companies do, is take some of the content that's worked well for them and then maximize that through. And at the end of the day, it's really about impact, and impact is both ministry and it's financial. So we want to increase the impact of content that people have already created or potentially want to create.
Yeah. And we can find out more about that where?
Potentialistagency.com.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you for having me.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on klrc.com. You can also join us in our Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite app so you won't ever miss an episode.